Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Hello from Shanghai, China. I am recording today's episode intro in the backseat of an Uber car after an amazing dinner with Ali Mona, the host of the Limitless Lawai podcast. Great show if you haven't heard it already. She's always talking about expat life and China and wellness and good, you know, being a good person. So check that out. I'm also on, I think, episode 44 of her show. And it's always good to share tips with each other about podcasting and war stories and resources as podcasters here in China. So I also was discussing some exciting news. I unfortunately can't share too much. It's still very early stage, but stay tuned for announcements and upcoming shows on that. And thank you everyone who reached out about the China e-channel for foreigners. It's working for me. I know some people weren't as successful and I'm loving the feedback. It seems like we need to have a Chinese work permit or a certain level of on our passports or our visas. So keep the feedback coming and let's help each other out. Also, this last Monday, I attended a massive Chinese Amazon seller conference. Thanks, Chris Davey, for helping get me an invite. It was seriously massive, like 2,000 sellers here in Shenzhen. And the market of Amazon and the global economy seems to be really, really, really moving fast. I already followed up with some of the sellers and it's just really exciting times. I even got to make some video blogs. You can check it out at mikesblog.com/vlog035 if you want to watch that. And the video got a lot of views, mostly on Facebook. And we get people reaching out to me that want to do deals with these Chinese sellers. And it's really exciting times. So we will see how that goes. And now, which leads to this week's show, more Amazon relevant content or those willing to sell in the EU or Europe. Amazon EU, or even if you're just selling in the EU at all, I know there's some software as a service listeners like David and others. So we're going to talk about how to collect VAT and taxes and report back to those countries. So it's fun tax stuff, but it's stuff we need to know. So let's listen in. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have with us an international businessman, Ito Altmans. He's a Dutch businessman in Spain. So we were just talking a little bit before the recording. It's a global world, right? How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Great. So I met one of your colleagues, Carlos, at the Barcelona event for DC Dynamo Circle. And it was always a hot topic and I'm glad to have you on the show. It's about EU taxes and, you know, a lot of our listeners are Amazon FBA sellers or e-commerce sellers. So we're going to dive into the fun part of taxes in the European Union. So before we get started, do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Ivo. I'm responsible for business development here at Quaderno. My background is in I'm a business economist by background, and I'm also an entrepreneur, having started various businesses. So that's who I am.
Cool. Great. So value, is it, let's maybe first talk about this VA. Is it VAT? Is that the right word to use or?
Yeah, VAT or VAT. Yeah, value added tax.
So let's say I'm an ignorant American. I always make fun of myself, but let's say that we have no clue what this is. I think in the US, it's sales. Is it be similar to sales tax? Or maybe do you want to give us an overview of what it is?
Yeah. It's basically exactly the same as sales tax. So on everything you purchase, be it milk, haircut, an ebook, VAT is withheld. And each country in Europe has their own VAT rates, which they can freely determine within a minimum bandwidth that has been set by the European Union.
Okay, I see. So yeah, you kind of got into my next question. So this is all across the European Union and the rates are not the same. So it depends, I guess the country decides the rate. Do you have some ideas? We don't have to go through all the different countries, but do you have some ideas of the ranges here?
Yeah, and if we would go through all of the countries, I think everybody would be tuning out by now.
Yeah, exactly.
So there are two rates. There's a standard rate and a reduced rate. Reduced rates can be set on a limited set of products. that have been determined by the EU as well on essential items. So those are the basics you live, such as milk, bread, butter, champagne if you're in France, which is obviously a joke. And this rate must be no less than 5%. And then there's a standard rate, which must be no less than 15%, but there's no maximum. Just, you know, for some stats, the highest rate in the EU is is in Hungary, which is 27%, followed by Denmark and Sweden at 25%. And the lowest is in Luxembourg with 17%. The average VAT rate is approximately 20%.
Okay. So that would be 20 with both the two different rates, right? The base rate plus that like variable rate? Is that kind of? Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think the base rate is, for your listeners, it's probably not interesting because it only covers the real essentials such as milk and butter and the like. So I don't think many of your listeners are selling those products. So so the average rate is approximately 20%.
Yep. Yeah. Getting into what they're selling. So basically, of course, there's lots of FBA, Amazon FBA sellers is you know taking over the world, and I know a lot of listeners and business owners are expanding into the EU. So I don't know how much we can get into this. It's always a complicated process, but there's Chinese sellers I'm friends with. There's American seller, you know, global sellers. I think seems maybe we'll talk about Amazon. How does Amazon treat it? If you're selling, do you have to have a company there and pay? From what I understand is right now, it's kind of not as regulated and people can just list products there, or do they have to get this VAT number and a company in the EU before they can sell in Europe?
Yeah. So officially, I think officially to become an FBA seller on Amazon, you have to register in a European country. You don't have to have a company. You don't have to start a company, which is a bit more complex, but you can register in the European countries from which you will be withholding tax so that they assign you a VAT number. Yeah, and you have to withhold VAT on your transactions, and how much that is depends on the products you sell, where you sell from, and where the buyers are based.
Got it. I think we'll talk about your solution soon. So that's cool, though. Actually, they don't need to have a company. I think a lot of times people go crazy thinking they have to have companies set up around the world, which is kind of sexy. But of course, that's pretty expensive and a lot of upkeep. So then they could have a company in Asia still or in the US, but they still have to register with the VAT, which is good to know. So it still seems pretty complicated, honestly. So you're selling on all these European Union countries. Let's stick with Amazon. You are basically keeping track of your sales, I guess, through your shopping cart or this Amazon, you know, Seller Central, and then you're reporting this earnings and then paying these countries?
Yeah, so the way it works is you're completely, Amazon basically says, we take care of fulfillment and taxes are your responsibility. They don't do anything in disregard for their sellers. So you're responsible for filing your own taxes, for withholding the right amount, and paying the right amount in the countries you do business with. So this is a complication for many FBA sellers who say, hey, you know, I think I'd like to move to Europe, or I'd like to start selling in Europe, but this can be this is a big hassle for us. I mean, I don't want to do all the paperwork and get all the headaches and have possible legal complications by having to file VAT, which is one of the complications you have when selling in Europe.
Got it. Let's just say some listeners have been selling. Is it possible that people are currently selling in the EU and forgot or didn't know about this? What's up with them? I mean, I know it's getting more and more strict. I think there was maybe, I don't want to say optional, but maybe not as enforced. I know it seems like it's getting more and more serious, right? To follow this, or again, just an ignorant American here, but it seems like it's getting pretty serious, I've heard.
Yeah. I mean, you're legally obliged to do these things, and more countries are actively enforcing this and checking on companies. And I am expecting that they will also request data from Amazon saying, hey, you know, let us know exactly how much was sold by each FBA seller so they can go after them. But having that said, you know, I would never advise not filing VAT. But for the really small sellers, it's usually not a problem because each country has their own thresholds. Right. If you're above a certain threshold, then you have to start filing VAT. In some countries, such as Spain, the threshold is zero. But in other countries, it's a bit more. In the like in the UK, I think it's £83,000. So you can sell a lot and have quite a successful business before you have to start worrying about VAT.
Okay. Yeah, this is good to know. But yeah, so many countries in the EU, we don't want to bore everybody and list them all out, but let's just say I'm an ignorant American again, and I have any, well, I mean, there's a whole Brexit nightmare or whatever is happening. So maybe without the UK, how many different countries are we talking about?
I think you're talking about something like 26 different countries. Yeah.
Crazy. So before we talked about, you know, we want to focus on product-based sellers and Amazon, but I don't want to forget about, I know there's some software sales people listening and these online, you know, information products or maybe even services. It's all, everything is, anything you sell, right? I mean, it's got, this has to be included if you sell to someone in the EU.
Well, it actually depends on what you're selling. There are two classes of products. One are digital products. The other ones are physical products. So for digital products, which is something that has recently changed as of January 1st, 2015, a new law came into effect, which obliges sellers of digital products, so for instance, ebooks, to charge the VAT rate of their buyer's country. So if you're selling ebooks from the UK, and I'm in Spain right now. If I would buy it from Spain, if I'm based in Spain, you would have to charge me the Spanish VAT rate. And if I would be based in Germany, the German VAT rate. So this is a big hassle for many entrepreneurs who sell digital products. And then on physical products, the EU is studying doing the same thing. But at the moment, it's not there yet. It's different. You basically charge the Fed rate from the country you're, in most cases, you're selling from, unless you break the threshold of the countries you're selling to. So if that makes sense.
Somewhat. And another one, I've heard that if you're selling to a business in Europe, they're exempt from VAT, or is this something I'm right or wrong? Or
That's true. That's exactly true. We were talking about B2C transactions, so customers. But if the transaction is between businesses and it's international, so you're selling from a UK company to a German company, and the German has a valid tax ID, which is the way to prove they're an actual business, then you don't have to charge VAT on sales.
Okay. Let's see. So then Amazon just... my list, I'll just reiterate, you said earlier, they do not handle taxes, but they handle, of course, the warehousing fulfillment if you want them to. And I keep track on my shopping cart, and then I have to wire. So if you don't have a European company, is it credit card? Is it PayPal? Or is it bank transfer? How would actually the settlement of this payments? And then you got these 26 or so countries. They're all different, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, so you register for VAT in the country you have to register for. They give you a number and then you make the payment, which would usually mean wiring the money to them. Yeah.
All right. Interesting. Could get to be troublesome, especially for smaller sellers. And do we have some examples? I even heard, I can't remember if it was Carlos telling me or some other people, but like a lot of times maybe I don't want to put Americans on the spotlight, but like these maybe tech startups in Silicon Valley saying, whatever, we're not going to bother with this. We're not going to follow this. But I've heard that, yeah, like we mentioned earlier, like these countries are going after especially the bigger guys, like, you know, the small sellers that are selling on their own websites, it might be harder or not as worthwhile for these countries to go after. But I don't know if you have any examples to share of of this enforcement and happening, or what's happening in the industry?
Well, it's actually this law on digital products is also known a bit as the Amazon law, because Amazon established itself in Luxembourg and started selling to all European countries massive amounts of products, and only applied the Luxembourg VAT rate and paid their taxes in Luxembourg, which has the lowest rate. So all the other countries said, hey, Germany, the Netherlands, the UK, you're selling to consumers in my country who are consuming those goods in our country. We want taxes, basically. So that is when this whole digital thing came into effect. And I don't know about any big name cases of where they have been actively prosecuting or going after sellers of digital products outside the EU. I know that in the UK they are now more actively going after Amazon sellers. But yeah, it's a matter of time before we will find out about some of the bigger cases, I think, because especially the businesses that are selling multi-millions a year are obviously have the interest of the tax authorities in different countries.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, the bigger guys can't hide like the smaller ones for sure. All right. And I'm thinking, I mean, I've heard, I don't want to be on the spot, but you know, I can't say I verify, but like I've heard maybe, I'll just pick Airbnb, but I'm not sure if I'm right. But a big tech startup in Silicon Valley that was kind of trying to get around this. I might be wrong on Airbnb, honestly, but I heard that actually pretty quickly they did just start following it and it's being taken very seriously. So I think it's a fair game for you. So you're making a solution that's I was talking about in Barcelona. You guys are trying to solve this issue for sellers, or what do you maybe talk a little bit about what you're working on?
Yeah, so Quaderno, our company, started off as a simple invoicing tool for freelancers. And the word invoicing is, we use it a bit differently in Europe than in the US. I think in the US you use it to request a payment, right? You send somebody an invoice. Mm-hmm. And here we send an invoice once we've received the payment. So it's like a sales receipt, a detailed sales receipt. So keep that in mind whenever I use the word invoice.
Got it.
So we started, or Quaderno started off as an invoicing tool for freelancers. And with the rise of the online payment gateways and e-commerce, we started integrating with different online payment platforms such as Stripe, PayPal, Braintree, so that we would automatically generate an invoice every time someone, a merchant, would make a sale with the look and feel of their business, etc. Because especially in Europe, many clients will request such a VAT invoice, right, which gives a breakdown of what you buy, the cost of goods sold, how much VAT was withheld. So we started doing that. And then January 1st last year, the law changed for digital products. As I mentioned previously, obliging merchants to charge the VAT rate of the buyer's country, which is a bureaucratic and a nightmare for many small businesses who sell don't sell, we have a significant revenue, but not in the multi-million a month range. So they had to do everything by hand or outsource it, or they had to figure out how to do this. And this is something we automated. So yeah, this has cost us to grow a lot. And that is what we do. We also have a solution for Amazon FBA sellers, which does basically the same thing.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. So it's, yeah, I mean, I think that's like the right way of doing something, right? You start with maybe MVP or, basic invoicing, European invoicing system, and then follow the market, demands. And that sounds pretty interesting. So you even integrate with Amazon or?
Yeah, we have an FBA integration, so you can easily connect your FBA accounts to our product, and we take care of everything. We issue VAT invoices, and we also calculate the right amount of, we establish the buyer's location, calculate the amount of VAT that should be paid, and make it easy to create a report which specifies how much was withheld from each country and how much you should be paying in to the tax authorities in each country.
All right, very cool. I don't want to put you on the spot with pricing, but how's your business model or how does it work?
Yeah, we have a subscription model, so we have different tiers. The tiers depends on the amount of transactions. A transaction is basically one invoice that has been generated, and it starts at $29 a month for 250 transactions. And then the sky is the limit. So the more someone sells, obviously, the better for them. And we have a custom plan for them as well.
Cool. Great. So what do you recommend? I mean, as far as these maybe non-European selling in Europe, I'm just kind of putting a surprise question here, but do you have any recommendations, differences? I mean, it's obviously a different market, but do you have any tips for people selling in Europe for the first time? Is there any critical differences, or just kind of sticking this one in there at the end?
Yeah, sure. So, I'm always a bit jealous of people who are based in the US, because the great thing about the US, one of the great things, is that if you open a coffee shop on the West Coast and it's success there, you can expand it throughout the country and be confident that it will be successful on the East Coast as well and in other regions. Europe is a bit different in that sense. You know, each country has their own language, their own culture, their own legal framework, the whole tax part we just discussed. So you have to invest in localizing the product, adjusting yourself a bit to consumer behavior, which can be different in the various countries. But I'd say it's at the minimum, it's well worth considering, because Europe is such a big market. I mean, only in Germany you have 80 million consumers. So it's something that could be very interesting if your product is successful in the US or in other countries, to consider starting to sell it in Europe as well.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a very interesting market and complex. I've done some sales in the UK, and then I made an EU website, and I would get myself in trouble. Like, I have to say, I just kind of use Google Translate and made German websites and Spanish websites. And it kind of worked until I started getting support requests I couldn't answer. And but I guess we just kind of make it work. I know there's people, I'm not the only one doing that, but of course they should find local people to help. You know, it's just like anywhere. If you read machine translated, it's not the most effective copywriting.
Well, earlier you mentioned MVP, and it's a good way to start off, right? Everybody who reads this, every customer, potential customer who reads your product description will know it's Google Translate. But then again, it's, if you consider it like an MVP, you test it with a few units. If it's successful, then you can consider investing in having a professional translation and maybe having some local people for customer service, etc. But it's a good first test to give it a try.
Great.
Like that.
Okay. So how can people find you guys you know, you have a blog too. Your website's really well designed too. So maybe, I know the word is a cool word, but it might be hard for people to spell.
It's a Spanish word for ledger. It's Cuaderno. It's Q-U-A-D-R-E-R-N-O, cuaderno.io.
Yep.
Yeah, and we have a blog in which we talk about different aspects of what you need to take care of, tax-wise, invoicing-wise, etc. And we also have a free trial of our product. So if any of this sounds interesting, and if any of your listeners has problems with the tax part that they would like to automate, so they can focus on doing real work instead of paperwork, yeah, do check us out and take it for a spin, the free trial.
Great. All right, Ivo, thank you so much for sharing, and we'll link this up as much. Of course, your website and other things we mentioned on the show notes. So I also see you have a full VAT section on the site too. So we can let people check that out and try to de-stress and focus, like you said, on sales.
Exactly, which is why they're in business, not for the tax part.
Yeah. All right, that's a wrap. Okay, I'm still hanging out in this Uber backseat here, cruising in style, although we are hitting traffic. Hopefully, don't hear any loud noises while I record this. But thank you, Ivo, for sharing those cool insights. And I hope those that are selling in EU or on Amazon EU learn some new tips. It's just crazy to me how in today's world with all these different countries are just kind of fighting to get their taxes. You know, seems like the internet and e-commerce are breaking down boundaries, but these countries and governments are trying to keep these walls and borders and other things up. Actually, another thing I'm doing in Shanghai is I'm picking up my e-residency Estonia card. I'm just experimenting with that a little bit. And I will, as always, share my knowledge with you on the blog. Probably later this week, I'll write up the experience. It's already approved. I just have to pick it up in person in Shanghai. And also more border talk. I'm planning already the Cross-Border Summit 2017 for Shenzhen in April. It's definitely going to be in April. I still haven't picked the dates, but the big feedback before was we did too much in one day. So people kind of want to have a two-day experience. So we will do that and but just pencil in mid-April, probably in the middle. You know, there's going to be tons of great events. I don't want to overlap with other awesome conferences and trade shows. So I just got to kind of be careful here. And I hope to see you guys there. It's going to be really great and better than ever. And life is good. I hope you're doing good and I hope you're doing what you love. I'm kind of getting there where I'm doing what I love. It took me maybe 10 or 15 years and I'm still figuring it out. So that's what we got to do. We just got to do what we love to do and keep working towards finding what we love to do. So I'm going to go back to my Uber ride and so hope you guys have a great day. Over and out. Peace.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.